Amen. So good to see everyone here this evening. If you're joining us online, thank you so much for worshiping with us. If this is your first time, we want to connect with you. You should have been greeted by a greeter or usher out there, and we've got a small gift for you, just a few points of information. If you stop by our Welcome Center, if you're worshiping online, you can head to the bit.ly link that you see on your screen at this time. Again, just a few points of information. We just want to connect with you. Amen, and say thank you for worshiping with us. We love to give here at Calvary Gospel. Got all sorts of giving options. Amen. If you're here in person, you can go to our website. You can mail it in. Go right into the Church Center app. Would encourage you to download that. Amen. Couple announcements tonight. This Sunday. Someone say this Sunday. This Sunday. All the men say this Sunday.
This Sunday.
There we go. There we go. Very manly voice, you know. Oh, amen. Men's ministry service. Sorry, I was just about to go tell a story, but I'll stop. Men's ministry service at 6 p.m. That is at Marvin's house, Brother Marvin's house. If you're here in person, or actually if you're worshiping online, you see the address. But if you're in person and need that address, you can stop by the doors, and the flyers are on the doors with that address. But bring a friend. Bring some meat to grill. It's going to be a great time. Men's ministry service this Sunday at 6 p.m. Looking ahead, men, everyone say, men's camp. And all the tenors say, men's camp. Okay, we don't have many tenors in the house. Wisconsin Men's Camp is taking place August 15th through the 17th. That is up at Shawano, or Wisconsin District Campgrounds. And we just are letting you know so you can take off work and you can register now. Pastor Jerry will have all that information if you need to get connected to that registration process. Amen. And then in a couple weeks, we're excited. August 4th, Sunday, August 4th, is our annual Summer Fun Fest, our annual church picnic. Amen. Amen. We're going to be celebrating 80 years of ministry here at Calvary Gospel. And we're excited. We're going to have our Janesville church there, our Waterloo church plant there, our Deerfield church plant, and our DeForest. I knew there was another D one. Amen. Our McFarland and Voces Unidas. AIM. It's just going to be an awesome time of celebration, celebrating what God has done over the last 8 years. We'll be contacting some of you soon. And I got a cool idea to show some of our history, a cool, unique way to do that. And so look for that text or email and help us out. Just roll with it. Amen, if I contact you. But invitation cards are here. They arrived today right outside in the lobby, straight ahead, these main doors, center doors. You'll see that invitation card rack, and there are plenty of cards. Take a few this week. Take some on Sunday, and just keep passing them out. We want to blanket your neighborhood, your apartment complex, your workplace. Just invite somebody, a friend, a neighbor, a relative. Invite someone. Ask the Lord who you should invite, and invite them. Take a card and do so. And there are also generic cards for everyday services. But it's going to be a great time. Stuff for kids. Everything's going to start at 10 a.m. and just one big service, heading out, having tacos, having sports, having fun for the kids. So make plans to be there. We'll get some more detailed information as we get closer, but it's going to be a great time. We're looking forward to that. Would you all stand with me? Amen. We want to go before the Lord in prayer. We want to continue to pray for Brother Larry Conley. Got word that he is scheduled to have open heart surgery. We're not sure of the time frame for that, but he was sent to UW today to have that procedure at some point. So we want to pray for Larry Conley. We want to pray for Pastor Roy as he continues in his medical leave, and pray that the swelling goes down, the pain subsides. Amen. And he's on his feet and here worshiping with us soon. Amen. Anybody else got a situation indicated? Zippy. Sorry. Just got that word right before service. He's back in the hospital, but as Sister Brittany said, every visit seems to get shorter and shorter and shorter. And so God has brought little Zippy all the way so far. We're believing that this is going to be the shortest visit so far. But let's pray for Zippy tonight as well. But anyone that got a situation, I'm sorry. Amen. Look around for hands. hands. Amen. Call out those brothers and sisters' names together as we pray for these requests. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, God, for your goodness, God. Nothing is impossible with you, and we're believing for your touch, that impossible touch, Lord God, on Lord Brother Larry tonight, God. Lord Jesus, scheduled for open heart surgery, that you touch him, God. And as that goes forth, touch the surgeon's hands, Lord God. Let everything go smoothly, Lord God, I pray, and he will recover. Lord Jesus, I pray. Touch Pastor Roy, God, on his medical leave. Lord, that ankle, God, that is giving him all sorts of fits after this surgery, God. But, Lord, it's for a reason, God, and it's a time, Lord God, we're believing for swelling to go down, for pain to subside, Lord God, and he'll be back up ministering, Lord, and leading us, Lord Jesus. I pray you touch him, Lord, right now, God, Jesus. Strengthen him, God. Lord, I pray for Lord Little Zippy, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, we're thankful for the work you've done already in his life, God. And yeah, this is a bump in the road. He's back in the hospital, but we're believing, God. We're believing for, Lord, a short stay. We're believing for a quick turnaround. Symptoms have subsided, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, God, and continue to touch his parents, Andrew and Leandra, God, and strengthen them, the extended family, Lord God, we pray. God, we give you the praise, Lord. You saw the lifted hands, God. You know the needs, Lord God. You know the situations, Lord God, we're facing, those worshiping online, God. The touch that is needed, Lord, financially or in the family or physically, Lord Jesus, God, or maybe it's a job situation or just confusion or not needing direction, Lord God. You're all of that and more, God. And I pray, Lord, minister tonight, God, to every need, every heart, every mind. Speak through Pastor Peter as he brings your word, God, tonight, Lord Jesus, because nothing is impossible for you. No situation that we're facing is impossible, God. Minister, let's give him a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together.
I believe. God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. And our God is healer, and he's awesome in power. Our God, sing it with me tonight, say, our God is greater, our God is stronger.
Glory to the only one who can. Oh.
it's a monopoly, but everything I see. I've seen cancer disappear, and I've seen broken bodies healed. So don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Cause I've seen real life resurrections, and I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what brings you here tonight. Maybe it's just because you were here last time. And I don't know where you're at in your journey with God. Because it's not a journey to God, it's a journey with God. Right? And we're constantly growing and learning and walking. And maybe you're seeing these letters like, I haven't seen the mental health restored. Just keep walking with God. Because what I've learned is with God, there are so many promises, but there's also so many promises. There's so many processes. And it's through the process of walking with God that I am healed, that I am changed, that I am sanctified. And so wherever you're at, keep walking. Keep walking because God's with you. Praise God. I just want to start tonight. Let's, you know what? God has a word for his church tonight. And let's just raise our hands and pray that we receive it. Okay? And let's pray for our pastor again too. God, Lord, we surrender to you tonight. God, I surrender to you, God. Let your word not go forth void, God. Let it do what you intended it to do. Let it fall on good ground in our hearts tonight, God. Let your anointing flow, God. Let the power of your word do its work, God. And we pray for our pastor on his medical leave, God. Heal him, God. Strengthen him. Refresh his mind and his body and his spirit, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You could be seated. If you've read through the New Testament recently, and maybe you're on your bread program or your Bible app or whatever you're doing, and you start at Matthew and you start reading, you're going to see so many different things. You've probably read it a bunch of times, but every time I read it, I pick something else out. And recently, I was reading and I just kept hearing the phrase, but Jesus was moved with compassion. Or Jesus had compassion, or he showed compassion. And it just kept striking me that this keeps happening, right? And so as we know compassion, you know, whether you're looking at Webster's or you're going to look at how the original Hebrew and all that was, compassion's like having mercy, to show pity, to have sympathy, maybe a concern for the suffering and misfortunes of other, to spare someone, right? We see the word in the Old Testament, the word compassion. It starts out we see it in Deuteronomy is one of the earliest times. And God is making a promise to his people. He says in Deuteronomy 30:13, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all nations. And so I'm going to go through tonight. We're going to see what the Bible is telling us about this idea of compassion. And I want to talk to you tonight about the title, A Community of Compassion. In Deuteronomy 30:13 is where we start to see that God will have compassion on us. But it doesn't stop there, because the psalmist in Psalms 86:15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. He goes on to say it in Psalms 111, Psalms 112, Psalms 145. You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. And then in the prophets, it continues in Jeremiah. It says, I will return and have compassion on them. Lamentations 3:32 says, though he causes grief, talking about God, yet he will have compassion on them. And then Micah 7:19, right before the New Testament's about to get going, one of the later prophets, it says, it's a prophecy about the coming Messiah, and it says, he will return again, and he will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. This is the prophets talking about this Messiah that's supposed to come. And so as we read through the Old Testament, we see that compassion is a part of who God is. He's full of compassion. He desires to have compassion on us. But it doesn't stop there. The message of compassion, it's easy to come up and for you to hear a message and say, yes, the compassion of the Lord. And we shouldn't leave tonight without that message, because God has compassion on us. All of us, even in our iniquities, even in our sin, even in our failures, even when we've turned the other way, he's like, I'm going to go get him. I'm going to get this sheep that keeps running away because I've got compassion. I see that Peter's being an idiot, but I have compassion on him. But that's just one side of the equation, because in Matthew 18, and these are not in chronological order. These are in the order I want to share them. But in Matthew 18, it says, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. This is the story where the Lord comes to the servant and says, hey, you owe me some money. And the servant's like, oh, sir, Lord, forgive me. Like, I don't have it. I don't know what to do. And guess what? The Lord had compassion and forgave him his debt. The Lord is moved with compassion because of his repentance. The Lord is moved with compassion because he sees his heart. The Lord is moved with compassion because he's like, he really feels bad. And so what I'm learning in this verse is that if we are the servant and God is the Lord, it reiterates that compassion is given to us by God, even when we don't deserve it. But then if you keep reading down, the same man who received forgiveness because he was shown compassion, he goes out and finds the person that owes him money, and does he show him compassion? No, he does not. In fact, in verse 33, the Lord comes back, and the Lord says in verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? So we're learning that compassion is not just something that comes from God to us, but compassion is required of us. Compassion is not dependent on what someone owes you. Well, once they pay off this debt, then I'll give them compassion. Then I'll feel compassion when they realize they were wrong. When they've repaid the wrong they did to me 20 years ago with that comment they probably don't even remember, then I will show compassion. No. In fact, compassion helps us forgive. 1 John 3, 17, it says, But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have a need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let's go with the paraphrase here. God has blessed all of us. We have the goods. And we see a brother or sister in need, and we shutteth up our bowels of compassion. If you go look up the way that the Greeks, when they used the word compassion, this is translated to English, right? That word was like this unction, this feeling, like this strong, like, oh, I feel so bad because of your condition. That's why they used the word bowels. It's like, you're going to feel that? You're just going to stop feeling that when your brother has a need. But if you go backwards in those verses, it says in verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Because in verse 15, it says, whoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And verse 16, right before the one we read, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And so we ought to lay down our life for our brethren. And so we're learning that we can show compassion to those who hate us. In fact, if we can't show compassion, it says, how can we say that God's love is actually inside of us? And so compassion is directly connected to God's love. God has a heart for compassion. If we are pursuing God's heart, we too will have a heart for compassion. The Bible shows compassion being given to all different kinds of people, all different kinds of groups. It shows compassion being given to the sick, to the hurting, to the unwanted, to the prodigals, to the outcasts, to the friends, to your friends. It shows it giving to neighbors. And what we just read, it even shows compassion being given to enemies. Let me give you some examples here. We're going to run through this. Matthew 9, verse 13. Jesus said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. Sorry, this is talking about Jesus. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw this people and he didn't see this people and said, oh my goodness, all they want is words and talking to me all the time. They just want me to preach to them. Here I am again having to say. He's like, man, you know how he saw them? He saw these people that had never been taught. These people that didn't have a teacher, a preacher, so a shepherd in their life. It's so crazy how you've been there. You can see there. You can sit there and be like, everybody just wants to take, take, take. I probably would have looked at it the same way. But Jesus had compassion and he goes, I see it a different way. These people need, and I can provide. Compassion isn't given because someone earns it. It's not given because they have the right training. This is what we're learning in this verse. Compassion looks past education and sees a need. Compassion looks past the opportunities that were provided or not provided and sees a need. Compassion looks past our social standing and sees a need. Mark 1:41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. This is a leper. Skin disease. You're not allowed anywhere near these people. This leper comes up to Jesus and says, if you can heal me, please just heal me. And he was moved with compassion. Compassion doesn't care how dirty or unwanted or unacceptable someone is. Once again, I hope you're hearing this from two ways here. It doesn't matter how dirty or unacceptable or unwanted you think you are, or somebody may have told you, God still shows you compassion. But the other side is, it doesn't matter who walks through that door, who comes into my circle, who comes into my life. It doesn't matter how dirty or unwanted or gross they are, or if they have leprosy, compassion is required. Compassion is needed. Compassion looks past our appearance and condition. Compassion looks past the appearance of the condition of the person that is in your life that God has put there for you to show compassion to. In Mark 5, verse 19, we read about this man who's demonically possessed. He's got demons inside of him. And Jesus heals him. And then in verse 19, the verse says, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I don't know if there's a line where you can justify to yourself and say, okay, once they're past this line, I'm not going to show compassion. But like being possessed by a demon is pretty far down the way. But Jesus had compassion. This man was outcast. Nobody wanted to be near him. In fact, I would take it a step further if I'm stretching or taking what I think of how the story happens. This demonically possessed man was probably out there hurting people or had hurt somebody. And maybe that's why he was outcast and had to go be by himself. I don't know. But Jesus didn't seem to care. His past, what made him, what path, what sinful path, lustful path, whatever path he went on that led him to being demonically possessed, didn't matter to Jesus. Jesus showed compassion. But also in this story, we read where Jesus says, go tell your friends. Because compassion is something to share with your friends. Compassion is something to tell somebody about. God showed me compassion. Luke 10, verse 33, it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. We've heard the story. We've preached it. I taught on it twice last year. The Good Samaritan. The man gets beat up and left on the side of the road. One person at a time, two of them to start, walk by, and they see this person, and, that's really messy. I'm just going to stay over here. Or, you know, that's a Samaritan. Those are those people we don't talk to. They're from that area of the city we don't go near. That, you know, they're sort of an enemy, but they're also just sort of somebody I don't want to talk to. Kind of mean. And so they walk by. But a Samaritan is there. And it says he had compassion on them. We're starting to stretch out here because compassion isn't just for our friends anymore. It's for our enemies. It's for people we have no idea who they are, but they have a need. And they're on the side of the road. We learn in this story that compassion costs something. Not only did it says he showed compassion, right? Let me read the exact words. He had compassion on him. He didn't just have compassion. He didn't say like the other guys and be like, wow, that's really bad. I feel really horrible about that guy. He had compassion, and so he acted. He picked him up. He took him to the inn. Hopefully there was a doctor or somebody there to clean this man up, give him a place to stay. He gave him money and said, I'll give you even more. Compassion costs something. I think too often we're hoping that compassion can be cheap and easy. Well, this conversation is going to take a long time if I have compassion with this person. But God, you know this person likes to talk. And God says, yeah, Peter, they need to talk. Compassion costs something. And if I could say it this way too, compassion doesn't work with selfishness. Because you can't stay on your side of the road and have compassion. It's moving. It's taking that feeling and moving to the other side of the road and saying, wherever I was going, whatever I was doing, whatever I was going to do with this money or this time, I'm going to show compassion. I think too often in our lives, we see people through the lens of what we have grown up with. And I don't, what I mean by that is this. We have all been hurt before by people. We have. Okay? And what happens is, now we start to see someone that comes next to us, and they very well could hurt us, or maybe they're not hurting us. But now we see everything someone does to us as hurt. And so now we just generically see people as hurters instead of hurting. We see them as somebody that's out there trying to get us. Well, this person offended me. Well, I don't know why. Maybe they were 1,000% wrong, but we can still show them compassion. Well, they're wrong. They're against God's word. Even better, let's show them compassion. It's flipping that switch to say these aren't just hurters. These are hurting. And so I want to show compassion. But I'll tell you, flipping that switch is not easy. I'm not going to tell you I've mastered it, but I'll tell you the compassion switch started flipping for me when I needed compassion, when I've hit my bottoms, when I've crawled across the ground in failure and crying on my knees. And God looks down on me and says, I still love you. It's in that moment where I realize, wow, I'm really not all that great either. And so I don't care what you're going to do to me. I'm still going to try to show you compassion. We have to quit seeing people as hurters and start seeing them as hurting. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Matthew 20, verse 29 says, as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. All the crowds, all the disciples, all the people that were like in the in crowd, the friends of the disciples. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, not part of the group, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And all the multitude that wanted to be like Jesus, who was showing compassion, I'm adding words here, all the multitude that were following Jesus, right? We're all here to follow Jesus. Right? They're literally walking with Jesus. They're following Jesus, all the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. Hey, this is Jesus. He's with us. We're the Christians. We're the church. We got service to go to. I got to go get my suit jacket on. Quiet down. You're not in the in crowd. And they cried out even more. Have mercy on us, O Lord, son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? And they said, Lord, open our eyes. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. Compassion is not just for the multitudes or the crowds. Compassion is not just for Jesus' inner circle. Compassion is not just for the church. Compassion is for everyone. Compassion is for people that might not see things the way that you see them. And when you're full of compassion, there's enough compassion to go around, even to the people that weren't with you. Peter, there's life, man. It's stressful. Things are tough. I know it's a tough message. It was tough writing this message. There's things going on. I need compassion. Matthew 14, 14. Right before this, we read how John was killed. He was beheaded. Jesus' cousin and friend was brutally murdered. And if you believe the Chosen, Jesus did warn him about it. I don't know if that's in the Bible, Sister Kasky, but it was a good story. His friend was brutally murdered. And he probably just wanted to be out by himself. It says, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Brother Buster talked on Sunday about, can we heal while we're hurting? Can we show compassion when we're going through our difficult situation? I don't know what stress or struggles or trials that you're going through. I don't know why you're going through them. But Jesus was going through a real tough one, and he said, I can still have compassion. Compassion is not dependent on your condition. Compassion is not dependent on your circumstances. But compassion makes a difference. We read in the story in Luke 7, verse 13, there's a woman and a whole procession. They're walking out of the city, and there's a dead body, her son, carrying him on something, dead son. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. That's why I use the Christian Standard Bible right there. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. He had compassion on her. Church, there's a lesson here that God wants to show us, that compassion can change lives. Compassion can bring people back from the dead. Spiritual death, emotional death. You might think that person's lost and laying on the side of the road. You might think they're the prodigal that's ran away, but compassion can bring people back to life. Compassion can bring your situations back to life. Those who seem dead in their lives, their emotions, or even their sins. People who seem like they have gone so far they can't come back. People who have dropped so low they can't get back up. People have been so dead they can't seem to live. Compassion can bring life to. And it's not just through Jesus. Our compassion to these people in these situations can bring a new life to them. It gives them hope. It gives them a chance. And God's love, it's not some magic that we're doing because we offered somebody $5. It's when we take the time to actually show compassion, not have compassion, show compassion, that God's love flows through us. And that his love does the work. That's what that verse was saying. You can't say you love God if you're not willing to have compassion to your brother or sister. Speaking of the prodigal, in Luke 15, we read the story of the prodigal. I know I've got a lot of verses here, but you're seeing the theme. Luke 15, we see the story of the prodigal. Goes to his dad, give me all my money. Don't care about you anymore. I want my half of the inheritance. I'm leaving, and I'm going to go spend it on whatever I want. Dad goes, here's your money, and he leaves. Loses all his money on stupid stuff. Ends up eating from a pig trough. And finally he says, well, maybe I just go home and eat from the pig trough in my dad's house. His servants do better. And then I'll at least be near my house. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, he was far away. He wasn't there yet. His father saw him and had compassion. And compassion had him sit on the porch and wait for his son to get up there and apologize. Compassion waited for his son to pay the money back. Compassion said, I'm going to stand here until he says the right words so I know he's sorry. compassion ran to his son. Compassion is not dependent, church, on if people have wronged us or used us or took advantage of us. It's easy to sit here and say, but you don't know. I don't need to know because it doesn't matter. We are to show compassion. Compassion doesn't hold the past against someone. Compassion can complete the reconciliation process. And you know what? Maybe you're sitting in the role of the other brother. I said this message is for the church. Maybe you're sitting in the role of the other brother. Don't get jealous of compassion that is showed to others. We should be happy when others receive compassion, especially sinners, especially the lost, especially the people on the sides of the road and the people with leprosy and the people with addictions and the people that are gross and nobody wants in society. These are the people. They came into church and God showed them compassion. I'm going to get excited. Well, God, I didn't get that compassion lately. Don't be that dude. In Hebrews 5, they're talking about the priest. It says, and the priest should be someone who, and then in verse 2 it says, the priest should be someone who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. The priest should be someone who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. The priest has to be able to see people and say, you, just like Jesus, you don't have a teacher. You don't know. No one's ever taught you. I'm going to have compassion on you. But a priest should also be someone that has compassion on those that know the way and have left the way. Too often we in churches say, there they go. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, you bitter person. We need to show compassion. We don't need to agree with their lifestyle, but we can show compassion. And in case I haven't said it before, we're all called to be priests. So if that's the expectation for a priest, it's another expectation of compassion. Listen, I'll say it again. I know this isn't easy to hear, but it's in God's word, and he's speaking to us. This is a message tonight that he wants us to know. Compassion isn't just a feeling. The writer of Hebrews, whatever your theory is on that, Hebrews 10:34, I think we started 10:34. This is the writer saying, for you had compassion of me in my bonds. I was in prison. You had compassion on me. Period. That's the end of the verse right there. You had compassion on me. You felt bad for me because I was in prison. Period. Oh, no. There's a comma there. You had compassion on me in my prison, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. You're wasted. You gave away your goods to me, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Paul is saying, you sympathized with me. You saw my need. You took notice, and you helped. Compassion is sympathy that results in action to help others. Matthew Henry's commentary, as you're reading through this, it says, the Christian spirit should be a sympathizing spirit, not a selfish spirit. We should be grateful when compassion is shown to us, just like Paul. But we shouldn't get to the point where we just expect everyone to show it to us. Compassion does not expect repayment. Musicians, if you could come up tonight. We're called to be like Christ. We're called to follow Jesus, to do as he did, not as the crowd around him did. Let's remember that. We weren't called to follow the crowd. We're called to follow Jesus because the crowd sometimes gets things mixed up and starts rebuking people that need compassion. Don't follow the crowd. Even if the crowd says they're following Jesus, we follow Jesus. We are called to be like Christ, and that includes having and showing compassion. And there's a reason for that. In Jude 1:22, and Jude, he's talking in the later part of this chapter, he's talking about reaching the lost, reaching out to people that need help. And he said, and of some, have compassion. He says, sometimes you're just going to need to show compassion, comma, making a difference. Compassion makes a difference. I don't know how long it was. Somebody else would have to tell me, Jessica or Pastor Phil, Sister Jessica. We had a slogan a long time ago, and it was written everywhere. Discover the difference. Compassion makes a difference. We are supposed to be the light of the world, a city set on a hill. We're supposed to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And we should proclaim the praises of him who has shown us compassion, adding a word there, by calling us out from our darkness. But now we're a people of God who've attained mercy, and we are supposed to call forth those praises and show that compassion on. So what is this difference? What is this light? We need to be a church that's moved by compassion, that feels compassion and acts on it. But church, here's where the tough love starts. If we are going to be a church that shows God to the world, if we are going to be a church that sees people saved and their lives changed, then we need to be a church of compassion. If we are going to be a church of compassion, this is not the if you give a mouse a cookie book, okay? It's very close. If we are going to be a church of compassion, we are going to have to be a church that shows compassion to each other. We can't expect to say, I'm just, you know what, Brother Tim, I'm not going to show compassion to you, but the random stranger on the road. I could do that. That's easy. No. If we're going to be a church that shows compassion, a church where the lost is saved, where people come and their lives are different because of Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to be a church that shows compassion to each other. But if we're going to be a church that shows compassion to each other, we need to be families showing compassion in our homes. That one hurts me probably the most. That's tough. If we're going to be family showing compassion in our home, we need to be individuals showing compassion. And if we're going to be individuals showing compassion, then we need the Holy Spirit working inside of us, moving us to compassion. We need to be on our knees in prayer, praying for those in need. Praying for our friends, for our enemies, for our frenemies, for our community. We need to be praying for the lost. It is through prayer we begin to see things as God sees them. It is through prayer we begin to see people as children who need him, not as herders or takers. But if we will go to God in prayer and begin to pray for the people in need. If we will go to God in prayer and pray for our community and pray, God, I don't have compassion. Give me compassion. Give me your heart. Give me a burden for the lost. Help me to see people as hurting and not herders. Then we will begin to feel compassion and we'll begin to show compassion. And that compassion will spill out in our homes. And the compassion in our homes will spill out into this building, into this church family. And this compassion in this church family will spill out into our community. And it will make a difference. Compassion needs to start in these walls, church. If we begin to pray for and look for and show compassion, then it will grow our homes, grow our neighborhoods, our schools, and our jobs. It will grow our community. Let's all stand. Jesus was full of compassion. He was constantly moved with compassion when he saw needs. Church. We need to be a church, a people a community of compassion. This area up at the front is here. You can pray up here. You can pray down there. But I want to guide your prayers tonight. You don't know what to pray. God, I don't even know where to start. Well, that's a prayer. Start there. But we can pray, God, help me to have compassion, to feel compassion, and the courage to show it. God, help me to see people the way that you see them. God, here's a bunch of hurting people I know of. God, do something in their lives. Help them. Start praying for our community. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for the persons across the street. Just pray a big, giant Holy Spirit bubble over our church and the people that come into it on Summer Fun Fest. It's like sci-fi stuff. Anybody that goes through this is going to get a touch of God. God, I want you to do this. And lastly, let's pray for a burden for the lost. This area is open. God loves you. He has compassion on you. And he wants us to show that compassion to the world.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. We live for you. Sing holy.